Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. Linda Rozak Burton, author of Gratitude Heals and one of the country's leading experts on gratitude, is here with me this bright, sunny spring morning. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Joanne. This is like a reunion for me. It's great to be together.
Thank you for coming back. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stressful times. Stressful times we're living in.
Indeed.
So I want to just do a refresher and start our time together defining gratitude. And I hear people say that it's kind of sappy and they can't do this sappy stuff, but just frame it for us. What is gratitude?
Yeah, well, I do hear that happy, sappy stuff. And that's their point of view, and I get it. And that's a myth that has been dispelled, along with the myth that when you practice gratitude, you encourage complacency. Again, another myth. And it does seem kind of counterintuitive to talk about gratitude when we are in these chaotic times. However, when we look at the early definition of gratitude, when it was really seriously researched, started about 30 years ago, it was defined as the affirmation of goodness and the recognition of goodness outside of ourselves. The recent definition that I've heard is from Dr. Robert Emmons, who really is the professor that started the whole research process. I listened to a lecture of his last year, and he now defines it as the deepest touch point of human existence. So let's just sit with that definition for a minute. The deepest touch point of human existence. That to me in and of itself tells me that I can find hope in that touch point and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
It's we often thought of it as a very simple emotion. Say thank you, be appreciative, but it's much more complex. It's considered a strength. It's considered a virtue. It is something that we have a choice in, and that also helps us determine how are our thoughts serving us or hindering us. So, yeah.
I like the fact that as the science of gratitude grows or matures, the definition becomes deeper. I like that a lot. I don't think that there are many people who would argue the fact that we are in chaotic times. Federal employees are losing their jobs left, right, and center. Federal contractors are losing their jobs and their contracts. We got everywhere there seems to be a war, a rumor of war. I mean, we've got more corruption than I have ever seen in my life in high places. All kinds of debates and arguments about gender identity, even stuff like planes dropping from the sky. And you know how much I travel. Yeah, I could go on and on and on about this stuff and make myself really sad this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in all of this, what you want for me, right, is to be grateful. Right, Linda? That's what you're talking about, huh? So how do I, because I'm speaking for me, how do I get centered and feel safe during all of this chaos?
I think the centeredness comes from finding a model of mental framework that helps us center ourselves and feel safe. So a well-being framework, maybe it's the Inspire by Dr. Bental Shahar or PERMA, which is out of positive psychology. And really looking at what aspect of our well-being, whether it's spiritual, intellectual, physical, what part of our well-being do we find gratitude in? And come back to that in somewhat of an intentional, consistent basis, because that helps us calm the fight, flight, freeze response. And it allows us that breathing room to move a little bit further away from the threat of any of what you just described. We move a little further away so that it's not, we're not hitting it as hard, because we're now looking at how am I going to control how I think about the messages that I'm taking in. So it's shifting perspective for sure.
So I want to be sure that I'm getting what you're saying. What you're saying is pick a model of gratitude, learn it, own it, use it. Is that it?
Pick a model of well-being.
A model of well-being.
A
Okay.
model of well-being and practice gratitude for any aspect of that well-being. If it's spiritual, what's meaningful and purposeful in your life? If it's intellectual, what have you learned? What do you have the ability to grow in? And really looking at that from how am I grateful for the meaningfulness in my life, the relationships that I have in my life, the ability to understand that I have strengths that I can bring to whatever the situation is. Again, that shift in perspective. If I'm feeling devastated, how can I remind myself of the strengths that I have to overcome things that have hurt me in the past or been devastating in the past? And so how did I grow from that? And how can I be appreciative of the strengths that helped me grow from I think we've talked about this before, remembering the bad, right? How can I grow because I know I've faced adversity in the past, and what helped me through, and what can I apply today that helps me through? It's probably a person, it's a sermon, it's music, it could be anything. And then once we recognize what it is, how can we find gratitude in that?
So let's say I found it and I recognize it. But at the same time, I am still feeling the anxiety and the stress and the pressure of what is going on around me. How in the world am I supposed to hold on to, people talk about, oh, I find my happy place. Well, if my happy place is buried in debris and you're asking me to discover this new well-being, wellness model, how do I do it in the midst of chaos?
It has to become almost like a ritual, right? So we talk about micro moments of practicing gratitude. So what in our environment can we have in front of us on a regular basis that reminds us to take a pause and think about one good thing that happened? Who made you laugh? Who did something kind for you? And when we have those reminders that come across our field of vision, it pulls us back. It kind of snaps us back into, okay, when I see that red dot on my mirror in the morning, I'm going to remember that I need some sort of space to stop and reflect on what is going well. That if it's covered under debris, then it's almost like when it's cut when something's like covered under all this debris, maybe going straight through isn't going to help us find what we're grateful for. So maybe we have to kind of work around the outside edges to begin to have some leverage into lightening up that debris. And so if we have a habit that we put into place, if we have a person in our life that we have an agreement with or a commitment with that we will connect on a regular basis, whether it's daily, every other day, and remind ourselves about avoiding what can we eliminate from our environment that will avoid piling on more debris, right?
Can you
Because we
give an
could
example?
Well, so we can start the day off with the best intention, right? And before we even get into the parking lot or into the office, we've heard something, we've seen something, we have felt something that compounds that level of chaos, negativity, uncertainty, whatever we call it. And so it's almost like, what trigger am I going to listen for? Right? And when I feel that trigger, what is my response going to be? And again, it's that shift, right? Is my response going to let it hook me? Because we know it does, right? So that let's assume that's common knowledge. We will get hooked. And what it's like scrolling, right? So when we are aware that we're scrolling, when we are aware we're getting hooked, then we have a choice. We can continue, or we can reframe. We can shift in, how am I thinking? Is it serving me well, or is it hindering me, my health, my relationship, my what's coming out of my mouth, etc. So I think there has to be these defined activities, rituals, behaviors that we have to build into it, with the greatest of intention, build into our daily, weekly, 24/7, because we are impacted 24/7.
You said something that I think is interesting. You talked about touching base with a particular person. You know, I have, of course, I have lots of people. You have lots of people in your life that you're close to, but how do you establish that? What do you say? Like, do I call my sister and say, hey, we have to talk every day to keep me from, you know, being depressed about the world? Or what is it that you're saying to
Yeah.
this person? Are you just being that honest? Am I to be that honest and say,
Yes.
this is sapping my energy?
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be an awesome thing for you to be able to do, to call your sister. So if that works with the relationship that you have with your sister, that would be a great strategy. It may not be a great strategy for everybody. So I would encourage people to look at what could I do? I had a client once that every morning she sent a text to a group that she had connected with a quote, a positive, uplifting. Sometimes it was spiritual, sometimes it was funny, but she took the effort to look up what she wanted to share the next day, and then she would send it out to everybody on that group text. Made her feel great. People were always responding back to her saying, this is just what I needed, right? So that little activity can be used the same way with gratitude. Is there somebody you can text to say, hey, I'm really grateful for you. You may not have recognized what you did for me the other day, but it really made me feel like you cared about me, and I'm grateful for our relationship. So use the media, use the technology that we have. I think we can always find something to be grateful for, even if it feels like it's insignificant, because it isn't.
It's so funny you say that because last night, I don't know why this just came to me. I said, you need to be really grateful for the flexibility you have in your life.
Oh.
And I thought, and truly, I was jumping in the shower and I was like, I said, I don't have to get up to an alarm clock very often.
There you go.
And I
Right.
still earn a living. And I before I went to bed, I did say thanks, you know, because that it's a small thing, but it's a big thing.
Right. Yeah.
So.
I think what I also hear you saying is, during these difficult times, keeping it simple is the best thing to do, right? Yeah, that flexibility that we take for granted, right? And I mean, if we really looked at our 24-hour day, maybe it's not 20, but what do we sleep, like 6 hours, whatever that is, whatever
Eight.
hours we are awake, if we could pause for 2 minutes at any time during the day and think about What's one good thing that I have in my life? It might feel insignificant in the moment, but it's the compound interest that really helps us brush away, move away some of that debris that really gives us a heavy heart.
And it's funny, sometimes it feels like when, I can't speak for anybody but me, but when my heart is heavy, it's difficult. Like it requires what you said, intentional work. Intentional work to lighten the burden. In your coaching work right now, how are you helping people to get through this period of chaos? I mean, I know you work with a lot of executives in a lot of different industries, who come to you for more than just their career stuff, and all of what we're living through impacts their careers. So what are you doing to help people around this now?
I am really listening to the mindset that they bring to our conversation. And when I listen to the mindset, I try to determine, and I ask them, obviously, do I hear pessimism, or am I hearing hope in what you just said? So tell me what you think about this situation that you just described to me. And then as I hear how they describe it, I'm able to say what I'm hearing. Am I right? Am I hearing you say you're optimistic, or am I hearing you saying, that you just feel so exhausted, you don't know how you could be productive, but that's what's being required of you. So mindset. And I know I've said this before, the way we think determines how we feel, and the way we feel determines how we behave. So whether you're a CEO, whether you are a community worker, who and any individual, the mindset that we step off the curb with determines how we're going to go through the day, how we're going to interact, how that impacts our relationships. And so we know that sometimes the mindset that we have is unhealthy. And we may even say, I don't know how to change that mindset, right? And so my advice is, well, have you had a situation like this in the past, similar situation like this in the past? And how have you work through that? Or who's somebody that you really trust? Where is this trusting, loving relationship that you can lean into to say, help me think through this. Help me think through this, because I keep coming to this wall. I can't seem to work through it. I can't seem to feel like I'm doing a good job at anything. And often what we find when we do that, Joanne, is that that person sees what we're doing. They see our strength. They see our determination. They see our integrity. And they help us to remember that that is there. We may be feeling overwhelmed because we are highly responsible in our work. And so if we step back to say, okay, I'm exhausted, but part of that exhaustion comes from the fact that I really do care about the work I'm doing. So that's a strength. I might be overplaying that strength right now. So how can I kind of back away from that? And sometimes it's looking at what gratitude can support, or it might be how do I use this strength more often, so that I'm not overusing it, but I'm becoming more productive because I'm focusing on the correct use of my strength.
I like that. I like that a lot. I always enjoy our conversations, and I want you to come back soon, probably next week, or at least within the next couple of weeks, because it doesn't look like the chaos is calming down. So we need some
What?
more strategies soon, soon, soon.
Absolutely. I'm delighted.
I want us to spend some time talking about gratitude in the midst of pessimism and whether the two can coexist. So, you game for coming back real soon?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I
Thank you,
appreciate you.
Joanne.
Appreciate
Pleasure.
you.
And I appreciate you doing this. For all the people that hear this, you are, this is part of your legacy. You are bringing such hope and love to so many people that I don't think we can not appreciate that.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you
You're
very
welcome.
much.
Thank you.
And we will see each other very soon.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.